If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about people who have unusual jobs. Darren is on the line. Darren, you're a substitute child.
I am, yeah, Dave. How are you not?
What does that mean? How does that work?
Basically, what happens is when things are getting too stressful at home with parents and their kids, you know how kids can be, I basically offer service where I tag the kid out and I come in and I basically do a version of that kid but a lot less stressful, who have the kind of rough edges sanded off.
Okay.
So that will obviously, I can't just come in and just start doing a willy-nilly. I have to study the child at length. I have to kind of stay in the same room as the child at night. I need to do all these kind of things to just make me absorb the child's kind of personality, its tics, its traits, what makes it tick, you know?
That's
tick with a K. The first tick I said was just a regular T-I-C.
Yes. And what happens to the child when you tag them out? Where do they go?
I haven't a clue, Dave.
Right, okay. It never came up?
No. I actually don't know. The crowd I work for now, they literally said, don't ask us about that. And the look they gave me, Dave, could melt the polar ice caps.
Right.
So I said, let it lie.
That's none of your business.
No. Yeah. I do have a line I give to the parents that I've been briefed on. That the kid goes off to this kind of basically Central Park's there, you know, that spot.
And how long would you take over for?
It's whatever the parents need before. It could be literally a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get a few bits done around the house. They can't have Molly there squealing away in the corner.
Yeah.
Or it could be, there's a family I'm with now, obviously, you know, my schedule does not permit me to be there all the time, but I've been there for like 16 years, Dave, with his family. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. And on and off.
And at this point,
mostly on.
At this point, you're probably more like a child to them than their own child.
Very much so, Dave.
Right.
Very much so.
And how will they deal then with their own child coming back?
Probably not well. I mean, that crowd definitely won't even have any real connection to their child anymore, you know, because they have. You'd be surprised how quickly parents get conditioned to you being the new child, the child,
yes.
You know. I can't imagine how many breaths they've tried to force my mouth, you know. And I don't, that's big no-no for me, Dave. You need to have, you know,
boundaries,
you know. It is a profession after all. I know a couple of guys in my profession, they have taken a few liberties, shall we say, and it gives the industry a bad name of taking children from their parents and replacing them with strange men.
Yes.
And you don't want that, you know. You don't want to be tired with kind of, the wrong kind of brush, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. So you're with this family 16 years. The child that you replaced there must be kind of an adult by now, right? As in, what age were you?
Fingers crossed.
What age was the child when you first tagged in?
The child when I first tagged in was 4 years old. Okay, so you're talking...
They're 20 now.
20, whatever,
What if they just don't come back? Will you just live out the rest of your life as the family's child?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no contracts with this kind of thing, really, which, you know, you'd think there should be.
Yo, yeah, definitely.
So,
you'd need, like, really watertight contracts with this kind of thing.
Like, I could walk out that door and not come back, and no one could say anything one of these days before the kid comes back. But, like, I'm kind of like, you know, that would probably, you know, you kill them, David, it'd break them. So I'm kind of emotionally tied to them now, even though I, to be honest, I could take or leave it now.
Yeah, yeah. What age are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Would you ask that to the Pope, Dave?
Well, no,
I'm 48, Dave.
You're 48, because obviously you're playing, if you want, a 20-year-old. Did they not see any kind of...
This isn't play, Dave.
Sorry,
play
no, I don't...
Play is something
that's
you do
word.
After hours
when you're
off the clock.
You what's the right term then? You're inhabiting a child, a 20-year-old in this case. Did they not see
the mind is a powerful thing,
it
Dave.
Is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some minds are shit. Sorry.
That's true. Well, look, I want to bring on your quote-unquote mother, Bernie.
Which one? Oh, Bernie. Which Bernie? There's three Bernies right now having a go.
Oh, okay. Well, the family that we were just talking about there.
Oh, sorry, Bernie, yeah.
Bernie, I have your son on the line?
Yes, that's my son, yeah. Thanks very much.
I don't know what way to approach this. Brittany, are you aware that this isn't the son that you gave birth to?
Well, I am aware most of the time, but sometimes it can, the lines do get blurred.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I find when he fills the dishwasher, I think that's my boy. And then I say, no, it's not. But we've talked about it before. I'd be happy to take him on full time, all the time.
It seems like he's pretty much...
If we go on a trip together, the two of us, that just as mother and son.
Mother's son
nice.
Trip? Yeah.
I'd like that a lot.
Is that part of the deal?
It certainly isn't, Dave.
No?
No.
Why not? Seems innocent.
Not to do with innocence, Dave. It's just, again, you need to keep these people at somewhat of a...
Okay.
You know.
So keep it with the full family.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Brittany, what's your son's name?
What's his name? It's Anthony.
It's not Anthony. It's Andrew, Dave. It's been a while, as I said, 16 years.
Yeah, yeah. But does she not call you
He has red hair, unfortunately, my son.
The birth Andrew.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that. So I have him call me by my name.
Okay.
Even if it's a girl, I'm tagging it.
Okay, so they call you Darren, right?
Because then if they're saying, it's like, Andrew, come here. It takes me a while to kind of,
Yes.
So
and you're kind of breaking character.
Exactly.
Not that you're... The character you're inhabiting is what I'm saying.
Exactly, Dave.
Right, okay. So do you miss Andrew, though? The real Andrew?
You didn't
know his name, so probably...
For me, that's very kind of... it's a hard question because...
Shouldn't be, really, though.
No.
He looks very like his father. And there's just a lot of tension there. There's a lot of... but I do wish him well. I do wish him well. And this is something that works for us. It doesn't work for everybody. And I just hope the relationship will evolve, because we're not blood related. So.
Oh, yeah, you and Darren.
And we're actually very close in age. So, but.
What are you getting at, Brittany?
It's just he's been a great help to me and with my confidence as well. He's really helped with that.
Okay.
And
as a son,
sometimes people don't appreciate what you do, and I sometimes say that's a lovely meal, and I just think thanks for it. Like I do. Some part of me does realize I am paying his mortgage, and that's fine. People, when you love people, you do what you can.
Yeah.
My birth son, I mean, he did move out 15 years ago. Like, he has his own family now.
Well, let's find out if he does, because I've actually got him on the line. Andrew is with us. Andrew, what have you been up to for the last 16 years?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity. Okay, you look at this first, right? This whole situation. Darren's very good at what he does. Okay,
yeah.
I don't mean to knock him.
Yeah.
And I understand you might think this is a very normal everyday thing to do, could happen in any house in Ireland. But when you actually look into it a little bit further, you may notice this is actually completely insane, David.
Well, how do you mean?
This is a completely bizarre concept. There cannot be such a thing. I'm currently running a campaign trying to have this stopped. You simply can't just say you're a child when you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a grown adult man.
It is, yeah.
I have younger siblings. And there'd be times it wasn't me being swapped out, it'd be for my sister or brother, and you'd be a small child sharing a bath with a grown man.
Whoa.
Even just for my mother's sake, that would, hold on, you've had your time so far, Darren.
Yeah.
Okay? You've also had 16 years living in my home, on and off, as you said. Granted, I'll grant you that, but... This is ridiculous. I mean, my mother, she raised us as... But that's an adult man in there pretending that he is me. And to be honest, I'm not sure of my mother's intentions anymore, David. And I've been very solitary.
Where have you been? Like, where have you been? Where has the agency put you during this time?
Have you ever heard of Young Fine Gael?
Yes.
That's it. Yeah, that's who that is. That's who those people are.
That's all... Kids have been taken away from their families. And,
unloved.
Yeah.
Clearly needing something more.
Right. That explains
denial. just certain traumas that you didn't even have the opportunity to experience. So you try and inflict pain and misery on,
yeah.
you know, in Young Fine Gael's case, it would be a lot about, you know, attacking the working classes, poor people, maybe making things harder for immigrants, women, that kind of thing. So it's kind of, I mean, I did enjoy a bit of that, I have to say. There was good times there too, but really, one of the most horrific experiences of my life, Young Fine Gael, and they won't mind me saying that, they know themselves.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, Bernie, hearing Andrew talk about being forced into Young Fine Gael?
Well, Joe, it kind of makes it makes sense now, because the first time I heard about this and where I got the card was at a Fine Gael meeting. So it kind of, I think maybe we've all been part of this for quite some time, maybe.
Yeah. Darren, were you aware of those political affiliations?
I wasn't, like I said, Dave, but having said that, every family that have swapped me out for their kids are rotten shower pricks. So it does, everything's starting to line up.
Yeah.
Kind of NIMBY, you know. Yes. Self-righteous, very kind of conservative.
I thought that's how we had bonded before.
Like I said, I inhabit the role. I myself am a staunch people before profit person, a PP.
Now, I want to ask you, Andrew, because you're 20 now. I presume you're too old for Young Fine Gael at that age. At some point, do you like graduate to Fine Gael proper?
Well, no, it's enjoyable to kind of become powerful in front of the younger people.
Yes.
So that's kind of, it would be the next step would be then to kind of, you know, be a pig towards some younger members of Young Fine Gael.
Okay.
That's kind of the system in place. It's kind of a hierarchy.
You
start off, run to the litter, you're removed from your own home, you join up Young Fine Gael.
Kind of browbeaten and into submission, kind of.
Very much kind of like, and there is a, you do a small display at the Ardèche each year, just kind of placards showing who you don't like, what you won't tolerate, that kind of thing. But I am still involved because once you're in, there's actually no getting out.
Right. Okay. And will you become?
Sorry, this is a lot. Sorry.
Do you see yourself becoming like a career politician? Will you?
I haven't been selected for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, only a few get to be chosen.
Yeah, the chosen
at
ones.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
His own parents and Fine Gael don't want him, Dave.
Yes.
Jesus, I'd hate to be him.
Sorry, Andrew. That's true, though, in fairness.
That's the policy. That's the party.
Do you want to go back home? Would you like to be back with your family?
Well, I would like to
I think
to
it's for the best if I wouldn't...
No. You don't want him back?
I mean, this is what I'm up against, you see?
Yeah. So you don't really have a choice.
And again, I don't mean to knock Darren personally. I mean, he's doing a job.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it's not Darren's fault. Obviously, he's just getting paid to do a job.
It is a bit Darren's fault, though. I mean,
well,
I mean,
I'd like to call
him. He's got to pay his rent.
I'd like to call him up on one thing he said about the adults taking baths with children. You know, you say it with that tone, it's going to sound weird, you know, the tone that he had.
Yeah.
It's not weird. I mean, it is weird a bit.
Yeah.
Loads of things are weird.
Yeah.
Sex is weird. Sex between adults is what I talk about.
We drink cow's milk.
Exactly, Dave. You know? I'm playing a part.
Yes. But yeah, and you've said as well there's lines you don't cross. Like
completely.
You
now I do take baths with kids.
Okay. That's a
be
line.
Reasonable,
yeah. I mean, now you're playing you're inhabiting a 20 year old, so I guess you're
as
much anymore.
No.
But I mean, maybe that's a line you should reconsider.
Do I tell you how to interview people, Dave?
To be fair, you don't come
don't
in.
Don't tell me how to, you know, act around
inhabit a child. Okay, listen, guys. Fascinating conversation. I'm so glad I could hear all about this. And Bernie, just quickly, one last thing. Like, how do you see your relationship with Darren developing as your substitute child?
I think myself and Darren, it can only grow from here. And we've been through a lot, you know, but he's always been such a support to me. And
there's real love there, I can sense.
There is real love. And maybe not here, maybe somewhere else. As I said, if we go on the trip, I can sell the house. As you've been saying to me, I will sell the house if you want me to. And we can go. We can go. Me and you can go together.
How do you feel about that, Darren? Just if Bernie sells the house or whatever?
Please, Darren.
This is what the agency call a code Oedipus.
Oh, right. Okay. This can happen, can it?
Oh, yeah. Never this bad, because I've never spent this much time. Bernie, so what I would probably do is I'll either be pulled out and replaced by...
But you never pulled out. That's what you always said to me. never pulled out.
Yeah,
you haven't crossed any other lines, then, have you?
I fingered her, Dave.
Right. Now you can see that that's probably not in keeping with your policy, the company's policy.
Yeah.
Are you? Do you think there'll be trouble with?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to put you in that position.
It's fine. It's my, I made my bed.
You have made your bed, I'm afraid.
Well, she's been making it the last while, but that's where it happened.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, we'll leave it there, guys. I wish you all the best of luck. It's a bit of a mess, and we might have just made it worse. We're talking about people who work in unusual jobs. Philippa, you're a professional jouster, is that right?
I am, yeah. It's something I just kind of fell into. I wasn't expecting it. And I was just at the circus. I think I was about 4 or 5, and we used to go quite a lot as family, which is kind of strange, I don't know. But anyway, we used to go, and there was a clown in the ring, and he had... A joust stick.
That's
kind of what we would call them.
Yes.
And
that's the professional term.
Yeah. And he dropped it and I picked it up as a 5-year-old. And I just kind of started laying into him. And it was just the reaction from the crowd and stuff. It just really got me going.
Well, people hate clowns, so they love to see violence.
They do. And it was a particularly shit clown as well.
Do you remember his name?
I think his name was Coco.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that because Coco's actually on the line. Coco.
Oh my God.
How are we getting on, Dave?
Yeah. Philippa actually took your job away from you when she was only a 5-year-old child. How did that make you feel, Coco?
Not great now, especially since she doesn't know the fucking word for it. It's a lance.
Yeah.
Dave.
I was thinking that myself. Yeah. And she's been in the business a long time.
She has longer than me now, this stage.
Things have moved on. We call it a jousting stick now.
So. Oh, okay. That's more
they
of an archaic term, I think.
I'm after coming from seeing that last Jew film. Do you see that? They call it fucking lancing as well.
Well, I mean, but it's an archaic term. Maybe it's kind of out of date now at this stage. What did you call it? A lancing stick?
Jousting stick.
Well, it depends on the size. So
Coco, how did it feel when a 5-year-old child came at you in your place of work and started assaulting you with a weapon?
Well, at first it was great, Dave, because, I mean, you know, I am a clown. So that's kind of, you know, that's grist for the mill, isn't it?
Yeah, some people are laughing.
Kid baiting me, you know, people loved it, you know, and you're like, that's good. But then she got very, 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 very violent with it to the point where I've actually lost an eye.
Nice.
You can't see, Dave, but I have a glass eye now.
Wow.
You know, which is... You know, at first, again, that was actually a bit of a gift because you do stuff with it. You know, you put little weird things in it. You know, like a snooker ball or something like that, or it was just snooker balls I used really, because not much else would fit in.
Yeah.
But so that was kind of good for a bit. But then after a while, my eye hole got infected by all the snooker balls I was putting in there. And
you want to clean those first.
You're in a circus, Dave. It's not the most hygienic place in the world.
Yeah.
And then, to be honest, just seeing her ascent in the world of professional jousting, which, in fairness, who could have told her that would have had a comeback?
It's massive now. I mean, it's up there with like soccer and rugby. You know, everyone's watching the jousting. And were you fired?
I was eventually fired. Yeah, you know, the drinking got too bad. I was just miserable, Dave. She ruined my life. And you know, they always say inside the clown's crying. You know, and that is true. But eventually, got to the point where outside the clown was crying.
And people don't really want to see.
No one wants to see that, especially when the clown only has one eye.
Yeah, I mean that's
tears squirting out of a big hole.
A hole, yeah, yeah. People
mad
don't,
looking, Dave.
People don't want to see that. Philippa, do you have any regrets? I mean, obviously you've had a great life. You're this well known professional jouster.
I don't really have any regrets, to be honest, because it found me, you know, and it was a calling of mine. I mean, I worked all over, like Vienna mostly. That's where
international jousting hotspot.
I feel kind of silly, just everyone obviously knows. But I spent a lot of time in Russia and, you know, I felt for Coco, but... I mean, I'd heard from a lot of people. You see, for a couple of years, I started out with the circus then, you know, and I traveled with them until I kind of, you know, figured out my own path and what I was doing and got a manager and stuff. But a lot of people had told me that Coco was a prick. So if they hadn't been cheering me on, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
I will say that.
So Coco kind of brought everything on himself, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say Coco's a dirty scumbag, you know, and he needed to be dealt with at the time. So, and I found my talent out of it. And, you know, that was just a nice thing that happened for me personally.
How do you reply to that, Coco?
Look.
You're a scumbag?
I'm an artist. And artists have license to, you know, in the pursuit of greatness, treat other people poorly. Be that through sexual harassment, just verbal abuse, physical abuse, right. A combination of... It's just part of how what makes us... We're tortured souls, Dave.
Right, right, right. So you're on the side of the Joss Whedons of the world and the likes.
I don't want to say it, I understand them. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, you can't look at it from the outside perspective and say, that's bad, but you can understand it at the same time, Dave.
Yeah, well, I want to bring on Philippa's manager, Bill, because I guess you do have a little bit of an outside perspective. What's your take on this? Did Coco get what was coming to him?
Look, I will say, first off, Philippa is a fantastic talent.
Yeah.
That I think the whole, and it is fantastic when to watch jousting, where, and it's, jousting has become, as you're saying, such an international, you know, garners such attention around the globe, obviously mainly in Vienna, areas of Russia as well, would be larger. Obviously everyone knows that. You know, what Philippa has done for the sport is truly remarkable, and I think she truly is a great ambassador for Ireland.
Mm.
You know, in all that she does, I mean, she is ruthless, I will say. Was the begin? You know, from those beginnings, attacking the clown, whatever his name is.
Coco.
Well, it's Raymond. I don't go by Coco anymore. Because I'm not a clown.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, he looks like one. No, but listen, the man is obviously pathetic. I mean, all clowns are pathetic. All artists, I would say,
because remember we put it in the book, kind of at the beginnings.
Yeah,
and remember the publishing team were like, let's take that out. It's unnecessary.
Why unnecessary? Just to...
Because this means so much has happened in my career since then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I got a line or two in the end. And Coco is the one that keeps... I feel like he's trying to kind of...
Oh, yes, I know what you
get
mean.
Get in on it.
A bit of a Pete Best, like, Fifth Beatle type thing. Just keep the story going. So you
see, but he did the one-minute interview. Do you remember? In Australia, and I thought that was stretching it.
The one-minute programme in Australia, is, you know, obviously that was a lot of press attention around that for the time. But I mean, it was 1 minute. What's 1 minute in, you know, compared to a career like Philippa's?
Mm.
She's taken the world by storm, jousted so many. And it is important to remember, jousting is a serious business. You know, her opponents are actually killed. We must not forget that. I mean, there are people who put their lives... Well,
there's
give
decent,
up their
yeah,
lives.
Decent people, yeah.
Good people involved in jousting who die on a weekly basis. And it's thanks to people like Emma that we get this, or people like Philippa that we get this entertainment.
Yes, that we get to see that live sometimes, in person
really,
sometimes.
Yeah, the blood and the gore, the blood and the guts. People love it.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. What's a clown going to do? Juggle a few balls? You know what I mean? I didn't juggle.
Well, maybe
I squirted a bit of water in me little yolk. Flour.
Maybe you should have.
And I jumped through the fire hoop.
Maybe you should have juggled that, Raymond, you know?
Fuck off, Amy. What would you know about it? What would you know about it? Oh, you should have. Listen, armchair fucking clown over here. Armchair critic.
Well,
maybe you should have juggled. Maybe you should have. I lost my eye, Dave. I was early in my career. Lost my eye. I could have learned to juggle. I could have gone on to great things, Dave.
Were you saying you...
I could have got out of the little car with a load of other lads.
Yeah. Were you, are you saying...
Should have juggled. Should have, would have.
Are you saying you couldn't juggle because you only had one eye?
No, I'm saying I hadn't got to that stage yet.
Right.
It was only early in my career.
Yeah, but you still had more time to develop those talents afterwards.
Well, Coco, can I just interject there?
Sorry.
I got you work in our resort in Vienna as a kind of a peace offering, olive branch.
You had me fucking bringing people's bags up to the hotel. It wasn't clown work. I was a porter.
And this man is a leech. This man is a leech. He has been launching this campaign for so many years, riding on Philippa's coattails. You know, what's that? Sour grapes. Is that the right thing? Sour grapes.
Bitter onions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
don't give him. He'll only stick him in his eye. Do you know? Like, it's just...
I know it wouldn't, because grapes are too small. They fall down and it'll be head.
Right. Okay, well, look... I feel sorry for you.
I don't need your pity, Dave.
Well,
I take cash.
No, I'm not. You're not going to get paid.
We've heard that from him before. That's all I say. It's all about cash.
Cash. I said we can, you know, spoken in the bank.
Spoken like people doing well, Dave. Spoken like people on the top, you know. Money doesn't matter until you don't have it. Isn't that right, Dave?
Yeah. All right, that's enough from you. Philippa, listen, best of luck at the
Thanks
upcoming
so
World Championships. We're all going to be rooting for you. The whole the country is behind you. It's like Jackie's Army, World Cup 90, Riverdance, all rolled into one. That's
great,
how people
yeah.
feel about you. So wish you all the best of luck, and Bill Hopefully as well. Thanks so much
people.
For coming
Thanks
on.
Thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
The Podcast Studios is the home of the Headstuff Podcast Network. It's where lots of our shows are recorded, and we work on editing, promotion, videos, live shows, and lots more. As a podcast production company with 3 state-of-the-art studios for audio and video in Dublin City Centre, we can work with you to tell great stories in a professional and engaging way. From government organisations to charities, arts groups to international brands, entrepreneurs to hobbyists, we've worked with everybody, and we can help you to get the word out. Whether you need studio time, you're hosting a live stream or webinar, or you need support with editing or marketing, we can tailor a package for you. For more info, head to thepodcaststudios.ie.
There is a new way to support the show, and it's called Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll not only help me to continue making more episodes of this show, you'll also get heaps of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which will be released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My special guest joining me in the studio today, Willie Gaffar, calls himself the Star Maker. He claims he can turn kids into bona fide celebrities by uncovering their unique talent. Welcome to the show, Willie.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
No, it's great. I mean, how did you first come to realize your own talent for uncovering kids' talents?
It's funny the way you pose that question. You know, kids are all special stars, you know, in their parents' eyes.
Yes.
But that doesn't make money.
No.
No, sure it doesn't. I mean, we've all seen, you know, you've been at birthday parties. Some kid from the school, my God, they're disgusting. Nothing to offer, nothing to say. Look.
That's most kids really, isn't it?
Most kids are disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay. But sometimes you get a good one. What I look for in a kid is that specific star quality.
Yes.
I look for that standout spirit.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean,
is that clear?
You've already, I think, brought so many well-known kids to our attention. I suppose some people would be critical of you saying that, you know, some of your proteges have been more successful than others. So, for example, Betty's on the line. Betty, Willie promised you that your daughter would become a famous bus driver. Has that happened?
No, it hasn't. My dad had never driven a bus.
Yes. But has she driven one now?
No. The bus has still not happened. We've paid, I think, $7,500. I got a loan from the credit union.
To Willie. Right.
That's only the start of the investment. Look, this is a long process. Yeah, someone like Betty.
My daughter wanted to sing.
This does not work. Your daughter is not a singer. Yeah. One look at that kid and I say, bus driver.
Bus
I knew it the first time I met her. And they actually live in Betty's town, which is funny.
She's 11.
And she is not a singer, not a looker.
Yes, okay.
She'd be very much, you know, a bus driver. I also thought maybe someone who will search you in the airport, that kind of kind of job, or, you know, maybe a lady bouncer, something like that.
Let's stick with the bus driver thing for the moment, because obviously you've invested $7,000. You will see that return when her daughter becomes a famous bus driver, right? Like that, but then the money will roll in.
Of course, $7,500 is an entry level payment. There is a tiered system of payments. Once you move up that ladder, you start to get closer.
Yeah.
To it's about investment.
Exactly. They just need to wait.
You know, Noel Edmonds.
7 or 8 years.
Yeah. You know the secret. It's very like that, but but with money.
Yes.
You give money
out
and then
to the universe, and then it comes back. Is that how it works?
But unlike The Secret, the money comes to me.
Yeah.
So I will look after that money till such a point as the child becomes a star, which, again, lady bus driver, fabulous job for Betty's child.
Now, some people would argue, Willie, that there's no such thing as a famous bus driver. Like, how can her daughter be famous.
That's called a gap in the market. Okay?
Yeah,
that's what this
true.
Is about.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
none
yeah.
yet because obviously yes. Betty's child, I forget her name, she will be...
Leanne. So
we'll have to talk about that the next time we meet.
We had seen
could do
Leanne
better than that, maybe.
Debbie. Could we go? Could we do Debbie on that?
Debbie the bus driver?
I think it's her name is Leanne. So Willie saw Leanne
okay.
in Deborah. Les Mis. And she approached us and everything he was saying was very good. And he knew what he was talking about. And he said, she needs to go niche.
Yeah.
But it was horrible at the time. But he said she has brown hair and she's average built. It's boring. For singing, you know, musical theatre, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we trusted him. And the thing that sold it to us was the bus itself. And that's what I have an issue with now. We still haven't seen the bus. So Willie talked a lot about the bus being a different kind of bus.
Well, your daughter's only a child. Like she can't, you know.
Well, Willie said that we would do photo shoots in the bus and just kind of, he said, create a buzz around a bus.
A buzz. A yeah. buzz.
A buzz. It's yeah. normal showbiz stuff.
Yeah.
In the business.
Yeah, he tells it was quite common.
I don't see what your problem is, though, Betty.
Because nothing has actually happened.
Yeah, but you got to be patient.
Betty,
like,
honey, this doesn't just happen overnight. You don't just make a world-famous bus driver overnight with an investment of 7.5. 7.5 grand. You crazy, Betty.
I know. I'm trying to keep the faith, but we met you that night and we haven't seen you since. And you just sent what?
You,
that's got
your
money.
Daughter is a very square-shouldered child. Okay? She's a broad child. She's almost entirely square.
Yeah.
She's equal height. You know, I'm sure you're all familiar with a square.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Deborah, and I think we should move on with the Deborah or Debbie.
Debbie, yeah.
Debbie should consider some lengthening.
Well, she is 11, so I mean, she may grow up, but she may also grow out. We don't know.
I think it's when you tell me my son. Michael, he should be a celebrity vet, and he's, you know, he's 7, and it's just, I suppose there's a lot to take on board.
Well, you know, there are already celebrity vets, so that one, you know, you can kind of see it's not as crowded, or sorry, it's slightly more crowded a space than the bus drivers, but yeah, why not? Like,
but this one will have a famous bus driving sister, so that will increase
yes.
the fame. Taking him to the top tier
yes.
of celebrity
yes.
vets.
Yes.
Yes, we've met celebrity vets. Do we know them by their Christian name? I don't think so.
Yes,
I don't
Do
think
we know
so.
What their siblings do?
Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I think you're doing great work here, Willie, but someone who's also not convinced is Tommy. So, Tommy, you were told that you could become famous by being Twink's frenemy.
I did, yeah.
Willie, your parents paid him a lot of money. And he said you could become famous by being Twink's frenemy. How has that worked out for you?
I mean, well, in the sense that it's very easy to become, at least enemies with Twink. But it doesn't get you any kind of, no one kind of cares about Twink anymore. So it just doesn't get any press whatsoever. I don't know what, like, if you're aspiring to be the frenemy of, like, a Z-list person.
Yeah.
How is that going to elevate you into fame? I don't get it. I don't
yeah.
get the logic. My parents
that's true.
Bought a hook, line and sinker, but...
Maybe if you were already famous.
See, this is it, but then we wouldn't need Willie.
That's true. How do you respond to that, Willie?
That family did not make enough investments. It's the emotional, but most importantly, the financial
yes.
investment
yes.
towards my account.
Yeah.
Which will then move towards, you know, a certain level of notoriety.
Right.
You know...
How much did your family invest, Tommy?
They invested 1,500, so like it was not a big
1,500?
Yeah.
Here. You think you could have become Twink's frenemy for 1,500 euro?
I did.
What are you basing this man's time for?
You have to, it has to equal, Twink, obviously, multi-millionaire. Obviously, everyone knows that.
Sure.
The woman is of means.
Yeah.
You know, a wonderful, glittering career.
Yeah.
You know what her, you know the dog, the Twink's dog?
Yeah.
That's actually my nephew.
No.
And he wanted
his,
my sister came to me, she said, Billy?
Yeah.
She
Willie.
Said, Will.
She probably
called
Well,
she
Bill.
Called me Bill. My father was William, so we had it. She said, I want him to be famous. I said, what about a dog of an older Irish woman? What about that? She invested upwards of more than these other two guests combined. Hey, presto, the dog is a huge celebrity. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, we all know Twin Stars.
This is the line he fed my parents. Dave, do you know what it's like to be hanging out with this old woman, making her your... You know what a frenemy is, Dave?
Yeah, you have to befriend them first and then...
Yeah, but you can't... Like, you can't just become an enemy. You still need to keep them on. You're just gaslighting poor El Adele. Can't day in, day out. You're like, oh, you're sitting down on her couch, listen to her woes, listen about her husband, blah, 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 her poor dog, da, da, da. Then all of a sudden you have to turn on her.
Yeah.
You see her bawling, crying, screaming, throwing ashtrays at your head. But then you have to keep her enough, give her enough rope that she still stays somewhat of your friend. It's horrible. I feel like an evil man.
What kind of things would you do to be the enemy part?
I'd say her dog looks shit. I say, I hate pantos.
Right, yeah.
I say, your man that she had the brawl with that time in the panto, that which fella was he again?
I don't know.
I think he's class.
See, it seems to me, Tommy, like you're not a very good frenemy. What you're doing there is...
That's a compliment.
No, but what you're doing there is, on the one hand, you're trying to be her friend, and then on the other hand, you're being her enemy. But I don't think you're really being a good frenemy.
Describe how you would be.
I think it needs to be more insidious. Like, I think you need to undermine her. I mean, you mentioned gaslighting earlier. Like, properly gaslighting her.
Okay.
You know, that would be...
No, this is good.
Yeah, are you taking notes?
I am, actually.
Yeah. I'm sure, Willie, you've got some...
I'm using, actually, her headed stationery here.
Oh, you still have her stationery? Oh, you're
in her
house.
Her house.
Okay, yeah. She's not listening, is she?
She's locked. Don't worry, she's on her couch. I don't know what she's on, to be honest.
Yeah, because you don't want her hearing this side of things. Any other advice, Willie, for how he can be a decent frenemy?
He's not a very exciting man to start off with, so...
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, I mean, that was clear. What about, let's say, 10K. 10K,
okay.
I'll give you my IBAN.
Yeah.
It's all the EU now, so... You can transfer me 10K and tweet about Twink.
What do you think of that, Tommy?
But the 10K first.
I could just do the second part.
Yeah, but you probably mess it up and say something stupid like Twink's an Aegis.
Please don't forget the Noel Edmonds element to this. The secret, you have to invest spiritually through financial means, bringing forward your capability and then stardom.
You know
I see what
do?
You're saying, Willie. It's not really even about so much as about the advice that we could give Tommy now. It's more about him investing in you and the universe and then the universe giving back to him.
I could get that 10 grand from Twink. That could be a good start point of kind of... It being more insidious, I could embezzle it or tell her I need it for an operation.
Yes.
Send it to you.
Yes. Now you're thinking, Tommy.
I could ask her for 20. She's a woman of means.
That is what I meant.
Okay.
That's what I've been trying
Pocket
to tell
10K.
You.
Pocket 10K. Send him the other 10K.
Yeah.
We're off to the races.
You're on your way.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, listen, that's a great start. Coming back to you, Betty, then, briefly. Tommy's seen the light. He realizes that with more investment, he can be a famous frenemy of Twink's. Are you going to invest more in your daughter, Deborah's future? Debbie, sorry.
Leanne.
Yeah, well, we're going to go with Debbie, I think. Go with Debbie? Yeah.
Debbie, Deb.
Can I just say, I saw Leanne in that production of Les Mis. She made a wonderful Javert.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But really masculine, kind of swarthy energy to the role. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
If it needs more investment, we could sell the car, and if that's what you thought.
What about remortgage?
Yeah, because you might want to hang on to the car because she could learn the basics in the car, do you know?
Sell the whole house, move into the car.
Okay, how's that sound? Yeah, yeah.
She needs to be on the road.
Yeah. Great experience for her.
Every child like Deborah's age, a broad child, wants to live in a car.
I know, when I was a kid, like that was... an absolute dream of mine. You know, I used to watch Knight Rider and just wish I lived in that car.
I know you've said always that's going to take sacrifices, but it feels like a lot now.
Are you a coward? Do you not love your children?
I do.
This is what you're up against in this business. They all want to be stars, David. They all want to be stars.
Oh, everyone wants to be a star.
But no one wants to put the work in
or the money.
Investment.
The investment. That's
my IBAN. I will give you the IBAN today.
Yeah. We might just put it out over the airways in case anyone else wants to just send you some money.
Can you put it in the notes of this?
Yeah.
IBAN will be there.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to just send Willie some money, help him do the good work that he's been
you
doing.
You don't need a BIC anymore. It's just IBAN.
Just
IBAN.
You should look into getting one of those coffee things. You know those coffee.com? You can get a, people just give you cash.
Are they sponsoring you?
No, similar name, but not related. Okay, so we've figured out what Debbie's future is.
Leanne,
sorry, whatever her name is.
I think we're going with Deborah.
I think it works. Tommy, things are looking bright for you.
Well, not right now. Twink's gone blue, so I better go.
Yeah, now this is where the friend part is important.
Yeah, I could get some serious good book stuff going on here now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if she's gone, heaven forbid, you're done, you know? And that...
Sorry, I need to keep her light on
it. Oh, yeah, I'd get on that as quick as you can.
Adele! Adele!
Give her a shake.
Adele!
Yeah, okay. All right. Listen, I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Emma Doran, Shane Dan Byrne, and Peter McGann. Guys, thank you so much. Do you have anything you want to plug, Shane?
Yes, I do. I have a show on the Liberty Hall Theatre on March 26th, and there is only a small amount of tickets left, and I'm not promoting it until like right now, so please do buy them on ticketmasters.ie.
Amazing. Peter McGann?
Nope.
Nothing.
Grant. You do? We're doing a show together.
Wait, oh, but when's that going to? When's this coming
out? This is February 28th.
No,
well, yeah, never mind.
When is
what's
this?
Your show together?
It's like the 24th.
Yeah. In the Sugar Club.
Okay. Yeah,
you're not on it.
I'm not.
Boys only.
Emma?
My Instagram, Emma Doran Comedian.
Grant.
I close my gigs there.
Oh, yeah. At Peter J. McGann.
I'll get in that now.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you to Heads of Podcast Network for having us and to Barbie Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
It's good to have a laugh, isn't it?
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.